Amen. Yes, let the church say amen and amen. Glory. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You, Lord. Thank You that You are here. Lord, You are here. Hallelujah. Two or three are gathered in His name. Lord, there He is. Thank You, Jesus. Worthy are You, Lord. Worthy are You, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Worthy are You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Let's give You all the glory and all the honor and all the praise, O Lord. Sometimes it's just good to take a moment and rest in His presence. Amen. That's where you can find true healing. It's not necessarily in a program or the preaching. Just being in the presence of the Lord, you get what you need. Amen. He's so good, church. He's so good. He's a good, good Father. And He loves His children. Amen. Well, we want to begin a brand new series this morning. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed the Connect series. And we talked about connecting not only with God, but connecting with others and connecting others to God. And so last week, my wife gave the challenge to invite your one. How many of you guys have taken up the challenge and invited that one person to church? Amen. And so we continue to encourage you to invite that one. And it may take a while. It may take a season of inviting before that person shows up to church. But eventually they're going to come, right? We're going to believe that the word of the Lord will come forth and that they will come and that they will hear the message of the gospel and they will be forever changed. And so look forward for that, because we're going to have an invite Sunday on a regular basis where you get to invite that one to church. And from this, they're going to hear a message that is geared towards salvation, where they're going to come to a crossroad where they're going to either make a decision to accept Christ or deny Christ, right? And then there's going to be an opportunity for baptism. So we're going to do this on a more frequent basis. And so that we encourage you to invite that one. They will hear a message about the gospel, they'll hear a testimony, and they will see baptism. And I'm thinking that's one of the things that maybe we're missing. And so we're just seeing that person being baptized is such an encouragement to the church. And so we're hoping to bring that back on a more frequent basis. So today we're talking about the man Elijah. And so we're beginning a brand new series. How many of you guys ever heard of Elijah before? Right, powerful man of God, did some incredible things for God. But, you know, before he was great and mighty, he was just a nobody from nowhere. He was just a nobody from nowhere. And so we're going to look at this, and we're going to see that, hey, look, God can use nobodies from nowhere. Amen. How many guys, we look around, we might see East Homer, and we might say, well, you know, it's nothing compared to the rest of the world. I want to tell you that, hey, look, God looks at something deeper. God says, oh, no, I can use you. It may seem like you're nobody from nowhere, but let me tell you, God has a plan for you. God can use you for His glory and for His purpose. Amen? Amen. So we're going to be examining that this series. So the making of a man of God is the title of this one. Or you can, if you're a woman, I'm not excluding you, the making of a woman of God, the making of a man of God. What does it take to become the person of God that He's called us to be? So that's what we want to examine this morning. So the first thing I would say is that you should allow God to remove your limitations. allow God to remove your limitations. Let's start it off in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 through 7. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 through 7. Now, we talked about Elijah before, and it was in the context where he went to this woman, this widow who was from Zarephath, and she was a poor widow, but yet God had chosen this widow to provide for Elijah's need during the time of a famine. And as she began to serve the man of God, that her needs were provided. We studied the fact that as she had a little bit of stick and a little bit of oil and a little bit of flour, as she began to use that, that God began to multiply it in such an incredible way. Today, we want to take a different approach. We want to look at the man of God himself, Elijah himself. And so before he goes to that place, before he goes to Zarephath, to this widow, what was God doing in Elijah before that time? And so that's what we want to look at. In 1 Kings 17, 1 through 7, it says, "Now Elijah, the Tishbite, a Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab." And so we just want to stop right here. Not much is said about Elijah. Most of the time when you read about a man of God or a woman of God, it begins with their foreground, like who their parents were and where they were from and the significance of this person. That's how it was in Jewish customs. But then we just, in this particular passage, it seems like Elijah just kind of jumps out of nowhere. All we know about Elijah is that he was the Tishbite from Tishbe. Anybody ever heard of Tishbe? Probably for good reason. That's like not a very well-known place in the Bible, Tishbe. In fact, Tishbe is said to be in Gilead. Where's Gilead? Well, if we go all the way back to when Abraham, whenever he was obedient to God, and God promised him the land of Canaan, and then eventually Moses was able to lead God's people from Egypt into the land of Canaan, there was this tribe of the Reubenites and of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and they said, "Hey, look, it's a pretty good land right here in Gilead, but we're going to go help you fight against the Canaanites, and then we're going to come back and we're going to live on this side of the Jordan River." And so Gilead was outside of the promised land of God, all right? And so they said it was a good land, but it wasn't a great land. Canaan was a great land. Remember whenever Moses sent out the spies and they came back and they said, "Man, the land is awesome. It's flowing with milk and honey." And they even had some of the grapes that they had gathered from Canaan. And it took two grown men to carry one cluster of grapes. Now, that's pretty incredible. I've never seen grapes that big. You know, I mean, where you need two full grown men to carry a cluster of grapes. It's pretty amazing. Anybody would like to, you know, indulge in something like that? All right, and so the land was awesome. It was a well-watered land. It was flowing with milk and honey, and this was God's promise. This was God's blessing to his people. And Gilead was outside of that promise, okay? And so it has kind of like a stigma against it. It's like, oh, we're the east side, and they're the west side, or you're from Dulac, and we're from New Orleans or something. And so, you know, but you have this distinction, right, between two different groups. So already, he's a Tishbite from Tishbe, place of insignificance. Can God use someone from a place of insignificance? Yes, he can. Can God use a person, even though you might have had the roughest background, you might have been abused, you might have been destroyed? Can God use a person that has been through hell? Can God use a person like that? Does it matter whether you were rich? Does it matter whether you were poor? Does it matter whether you were black, whether you were white? Does it matter? Can God use a person who's been from a place of insignificance? I would say yes. I would say with an emphatic yes, God can use the insignificant. Amen. Hey, he's using me. He's using me. You know, I felt like Moses whenever God called me to preach. God, I can't preach. God, I can't speak. I can't be used by you. We often make excuses because of our past. We let our past put limits on what God can do. We say, because of my past, because of where I came from, surely God cannot use me. God says, no, I'm going to look past your limitations because I am God. I'm not God's not limited by our limitations, amen? If God can use a donkey to get Balaam's attention, if God can use a whale to get Jonah's attention, then surely he can use me. And surely he can use you. Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead. But yet God seen something great on the inside of Elijah. Amen. Whenever God was wanting to confront the wickedness and the idolatry that was in Israel, he found Elijah. During this time, you know, there was this wicked King Ahab. And it says that King Ahab was the most wicked king up to that time. And there had been some wickedness. But then Ahab takes this wickedness up to an even greater level. And he begins this worship of Baal. And he allows his evil wife, Jezebel, get a good wife, amen. He allowed this evil woman named Jezebel to influence him. And so he allowed the worship of Baal. And they brought in all these false prophets of Baal. And they began to pollute the land that God had given them. The land of Canaan, the land that was flowing with milk and honey, they allowed the worship of this false god, Baal. And God is not going to, God is a jealous God, and he will not allow his people to worship idols. He raises up a man named Elijah. So even though we don't know a whole lot about Elijah, the name Elijah means this: Yahweh is God. Yahweh is God. In other words, Israel might be worshiping these false gods. Israel might be worshiping gods that are made by the hands of men, but Yahweh is God. And whenever God found someone to confront the wickedness of Ahab, he raised up a man named Elijah, whose name means Yahweh is God. As a reminder, and to make a fool, basically, of all the Baals and all the Baal worshipers. Because it's interesting, the Canaanites, as they worshiped Baal, they believed that Baal was responsible for the rain and for the dew and for the lightning. And this is where Elijah was going to strike first. He says, you're putting your trust in this false god Baal. You're believing that he's in control of nature. I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm coming at that first. I'm coming at that thing which you've been holding on to, which you believe in, and I'm going to show you that Yahweh is God. Not Baal. And so the very first thing is that he goes to King Ahab, and this is what he begins to say. Now, this is quite a daunting challenge, because Ahab was a very wicked man, a very powerful man, and so was his wife. Probably even more wicked and even more powerful. But Elijah goes to Ahab and says this: as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall neither be dew nor rain these years except by my word. Wow. But we need some men of God and women of God of courage who will stand up against wickedness and say, this is the word of the Lord. This is what the word of the Lord says. Boy, if we had a church filled with people in here that would declare the word of the Lord and declare and stand against evil and stand against unrighteousness. Amen. He has some boldness. He has some tenacity. I'm liking Elijah so far. Amen. As the Lord lives, before whom I stand. How was he able to go to Ahab? Because he'd been standing in the presence of the Lord. He's been standing. Whenever you're standing in front of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you can stand before a wicked king named Ahab. Amen. It's because he's been standing there. He came to know the Lord's heart. He came to know the king's heart and his expectations. And whenever the king gave the word, then Elijah was then authorized to proclaim that word to the wicked Ahab. Whenever you have been spending time in the presence of God, then you have a word that comes from him. You begin to know his heart. You begin to know his expectations. And he authorizes you to declare that word in that wickedness that is around you. That it only comes from standing in the presence of God, standing in His presence. How much time do you spend standing in the presence of God? How much time do you spend getting to know His heart, getting to know what He wants from you, getting wisdom from Him, getting strength? How much time do you spend standing in His presence? How will you confront the wickedness of this world if you're not standing in His presence? We have to be standing in the presence of God. See, whenever Elijah spoke, he spoke from an authority that came from above. He didn't speak with his own authority. He didn't speak with his own strength. He spoke because the king had authorized him to speak, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So the first thing is that he stood in his presence. The next thing is that Elijah obeyed God completely. It was complete obedience. Now, you realize how hard it was for Elijah to obey God and to declare this word over the land? Because guess what? Elijah is living in Israel as well. And so whenever he declares that it will not rain, then he is thereby a recipient of that word. And so he must have had a faith, hey, though I am declaring this thing, and though the land will dry up, I somehow believe that God is going to be with me, God is going to protect me, God is going to get me through it. Come on. Now we're looking at this coronavirus spreading throughout the United States, right? Do you know that God is with you, that God will protect you? Come on. And that you are His child. You are His children. Amen. There's no need to worry or fear. We're not going to let fear dictate us. We're going to stand in faith as men and women of God and declare the word of the Lord over our lives and over our family and over our church and our city and over our state. That virus will not affect us in the name of Jesus. Because we're standing in His presence and we're going to be obedient to what He's calling us to do. Yeah. Amen. You know how devastating this famine would have been? It says in the book of James that this famine will last for 3.5 years. It's a long time to go without rain. I mean, just imagine if the United States of America went without rain for 3.5 years. Crops would die. Animals would die. Waters would dry up. Eventually, we would die. For 3.5 years, this is what Elijah declared. There will be no rain except by my voice. Because I've been standing in the presence of God, and I'm declaring to you what God has spoken to me already. There will be no rain. But yet, Elijah obeyed, and he obeyed completely. So this land that was once lush and flow with milk and honey and had grapes and all these wonderful things would soon become a dry and barren land. Why? Because Israel began to worship other gods besides God. They began to allow other things to take the place of God. He was the one who delivered them out of Egypt. He was the one who set them free from Egyptian slavery. He was the one, yet they're worshiping this false god Baal. Before we start getting too judgmental, how many times do we put other things before God? How many times are we guilty of worshiping idols? Elijah was willing to obey the Lord completely. You know, Elijah's life would be marked by steps of obedience, by more steps of obedience. He would obey God and on one level, and then God would bring him to another level, and there was required more obedience of Elijah. And so he would be obedient in one level, and then God would bring him to another place, and he would have to be obedient again. It was step after step after step of obedience. And so the next thing that God is asking him to do in verse 2, it says, and the word of the Lord came to him. Now, the word of the Lord doesn't come to anybody. It comes to those who are standing in his presence. The word of the Lord came to him. It came to Elijah. Depart from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Kerith, which is east of the Jordan. Now, something interesting about this word Kerith. It means separation. It means cutting away. In other words, God was bringing Elijah to a place where he was cutting away, he was stripping everything that Elijah had become dependent upon. Now, if you guys have been a Christian for any period of time, you will realize that God will bring you through some seasons where he will cut away some things that you have depended on for so long. And as a pastor, I can tell you there have been many and multiple seasons where God has cut away. He's cut away the job that I depended on so that I would depend on him as my provider. He's cut away different things so that I can learn more dependency upon him. Amen. Amen. So he brought Elijah to this place called Kerith, which means cutting, which means separation. He was isolated. He was lonely. So don't tell me that becoming a Christian, everything becomes easy. Because Elijah was a man of God who stood in God's presence, yet he finds himself in a place of isolation. In this brook called Kerith, it was away from everything that he had known. But yet God would somehow miraculously provide for Elijah. While everybody else is thirsting and lacking water, God had provided a brook called Kerith. He said, Elijah, I'm sending you to this brook so that I can water you so you can have what you need. And I'm going to send a raven to feed you. I'm going to send a bird, a raven that is known to neglect its young. I'm going to send this type of bird to provide for your needs. That's the God that we serve. Whenever we begin to step out in obedience to what he's called us to, man, we don't have to worry about our daily provision. That he's going to provide. He will bring you to brooks of Kerith. He will bring you where you're stripped away of everything that you have come to know so that ultimately you can become dependent upon him. Amen. Amen. So we ask this question, will God bring you to a place in which you are stripped of everything you have depended on? I would say yes, an emphatic yes. Will he allow you to go through seasons of loneliness, isolation, and even fearful circumstances to bring about his purpose? Absolutely. You may have to go through those, but I just want you to know that he is with you, that he will provide for you, that he will see you through it. Amen. We can never have that taken away, the fact that God is a loving God and that he is with us. No matter what happens, that would never be taken away from us as a believer. He is with us. That he is still on the throne. That he is not moved by our circumstances. He is not moved by our situations. He is God. He is holy. He is righteous. It doesn't change who he is just because of what I'm going through. Totally depend upon God. Look at verse 4. It says, you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, and he went and lived by the brook Kerith, that is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning. So he had a sandwich in the morning, bread and meat in the evening. So he had a sandwich in the evening, and he drank from the brook. He had water to drink. And after a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Whenever everybody else is going through famine and everybody else is dying because of this famine, the Lord provides for the man of God. The Lord provided for him. He gave him what he needed. He gave him his daily bread, that which he needed that day. That, you know, what he needed bread that day and that evening. He gave it to him when he needed it. And that's how the Lord will give it. He will give you your daily bread. In fact, whenever he's teaching the disciples with the pray, he says, pray that the Lord would give you your daily bread so that you become daily dependent upon God. Daily dependency. You need God each and every day. Whenever you wake up on Monday morning, you need God. Whenever you wake up on Wednesday morning, you need God. Daily dependency is what he's looking for. And he will, if you're like depending on other things, he will strip that down from you and bring you to a place where you become dependent upon him. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Does anybody bear witness with that? Has God ever cut something from your life? Because ultimately, he's bringing you somewhere. It's not about where you're at right now. It's where you're going. Amen. This was just the beginning of Elijah's life. This is just the beginning of what God was going to do. This is just the beginning of what God is wanting to do in your life. And you might be in a season where it feels like God is cutting, and he is cutting away from you. But I want you to know it is only a season. It is only preparation for what is coming ahead in the name of Jesus. You might be a season of loneliness, but it's only for a season. You might be a season where you're isolated. But man, if you're drinking from the brook that the Lord provides, man, all your needs will be provided for. He's going to bring you, eventually he's going to bring about his purpose in your life. It may seem like it's not taking place the way you thought it would take place, but it will happen. Amen. Allow God to remove your limitations. Doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter your past, what you've experienced. Doesn't matter the hurt and the pain. Doesn't matter the separation that you've experienced. Don't allow your limits to limit God. Don't allow your insignificance. Don't allow your inabilities to limit our infallible God. Don't allow yourself to limit God. His power is so much greater than ours, amen? Stop making excuses of why you cannot be used by God and start making commitments that you will be used by God. I'm committing my life to you, Lord. Whatever it is that you're wanting me to do, I'm not going to make excuses anymore of why I cannot do this. But I'm saying, yes, Lord. I'm saying, God, I am committed to your ways. I'm committed to your purpose for my life. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter if you strip away those things which I have depended upon. As long as I have you, I have everything. Amen. The next thing is that we're going to stand in the presence of God. We're going to stand in his presence. Whenever you have done all to stand, that you would stand therefore. Come on, there's sometimes when you get to a place, there's nothing else to do. There's no other options. The Lord will say, stand and just be still and know that I am God. Stand, therefore. Stand in his presence, and then we're going to walk in complete obedience. I don't know what the Lord is telling you to do this morning. I don't know what area he's asking you to be obedient in, but I would challenge you to be obedient, to walk in obedience. It was hard for Elijah. It's not always easy to walk in obedience to what the Lord has asked you to do. But if you would be willing to step out, if you'll be willing to obey, that he will meet you right there. Amen. Just say yes to the Lord. And then we're going to be totally dependent upon God. Totally dependent upon him. He is your everything. He is your provider. He is your healer. He is your sanctifier. He is your deliverer. He is your freedom. He is your deliverance. He is everything that you need this morning. Totally dependent. God, we are totally dependent upon you this morning. We cannot do it on our own strength. And Lord, we don't want to do it on our own strength. We need you, oh God. And we want a daily dependence upon you, oh God. When we wake up every single morning, God, that we would realize our need for you. Create inside of us a daily dependence upon you. What season are you in this morning? And I ask that you would examine your hearts this morning. Are you in a season where it just seems to be like God's just cutting away things, isolated, or you're in a difficult season? I just want you to know that the Lord is working these things. He is using these things to build you into the man or the woman of God that he's created you to be. Don't give up. Keep pressing on. Come on, rely on his strength. Rely on his strength to get you through it. You may feel like giving up. I'm sure Elijah had those moments of just being fearful and feel like, man, this is not worth it. But keep on pressing on. Keep on. Just know that this is a season in your life and that what's coming is greater than what you're going through right now. Amen. So, Lord, we just come before you as your people, and we just ask, God, that you would help us, Lord, this morning. Lord, to depend upon you, Lord, to trust in you. Lord, we know that you have great and mighty things in store for us, oh God. For those who walk in obedience to your word, for those who fear you, for those who have placed our faith in you, God, we know, Lord, that your plans are greater than our plans, Lord. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, your will be fulfilled in our lives. Help us, Lord, to walk in obedience. Help us to find ourselves standing in your presence when we cannot do anything else, the Lord, that we would stand and stand there for. Lord, that we would be like Elijah, just a man that is, or a woman of God that is after your own heart, Lord God, and just wanting to please you in all that we do. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. We just give you all the praise and all the glory. Let the church say amen and amen. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord.
Amen. So today, if you say, you know, I just want to be that person and like Elijah, someone from nowhere, but God can use, we want to offer every Monday, we open the sanctuary, we fast and pray together as a group of believers. So we just want to encourage you to do that. Anytime that you walk in on Monday, if you have an hour or 30 minutes, the music is playing in the sanctuary and just standing in the presence of the Lord, getting a word from him, and that God will use those steps in your life to move you forward to his mission for you. And so we want to encourage you, though you might be going through some things, we just want to offer that and say, hey, we're praying and we're fasting with you. On Mondays as a church, we fast together. So just, and maybe God will put somebody specific on your heart to pray for, or a situation to pray and fast for, but just join with us, and we encourage you to do that in Jesus' name. We love you guys. We'll see you Wednesday for those new Bible studies. Walk out here and plan in faith, and hey, the thrift store is open, so go find some amazing treasures in Jesus' name.